Well, good day and welcome to a new series that we're going to be starting with today. And the title that the Lord gave me for this is My In Him Realities. This is something that I want you to be able to take and begin to take as yours. So it's not talking about Minton's In Him Realities or just In Him Realities. These are In Him Realities that each of us need to see ourselves as owning and possessing. And we're going to begin to see today that how you see yourself really forms the basis for being able to grasp these In Him realities. Now, we've been talking about In His presence, and this is really a continuation of a lot of the same thoughts that we've been doing these past 7 weeks. And I want to go over 4 verses as we start today that we used in the previous session that are pertinent to what we're going to be building on. The first is in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, He, talking about the Father, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin on our behalf. So Jesus didn't have sin. He was made to be sin for you and for me. And then what was the result of it? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Our spirit man then is a born-again being, never before created, or it's like one that was created, never before existed, for you and for me as we're born again, and it is complete. You are as righteous as you can get. Now, we can continue to grow and walk in this righteousness and in the fruit of it, but your spirit man is complete, as we saw. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we're being transformed into the same image. As who? As Jesus, as we behold the Word, as we see the Word, as we see truth, it begins to transform us into His image, that same image, taking us from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, from the Spirit. So it's in this relationship that we have with Him through the Word, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that we are transformed and renewed in our mind, as well as our spirit, see ourselves in our spirit as it really is, to be in the same image as Jesus. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things we are what? More than conquerors. We're not the conquerors. We're the ones who enforce it. We're the ones who live in the value and the benefit of His being the conqueror. So we are more than just conquerors. How? Through Him. So there's one of those words that we're going to be talking about. Through Him who loved us. And it was all because of this love that He went to the cross for us. We looked and spent a lot of time in Romans 5:17, and we're actually going to read it again today in a few moments. But it says, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And this is where we really focused on in the previous study at the latter part of it, will reign in life, how? Through or in the one, Christ Jesus. So we're told that we can exercise royal authority, dominion, just as Adam was told he was to do over the earth. So as we start this new series today, My In Him Realities, my prayer is that you're going to begin to see yourself and change your identity so that you'll never ever say again, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You won't think about yourself that way. You'll think about yourself and have your identity in righteousness, in that righteousness we were made to be in Christ Jesus. So as we start this series, I first want to just speak about what we're going to be looking at and really kind of set the tone. And I want to do that by focusing on identity. So, so important. How you see yourself matters. And my prayer is that we'll begin to see ourselves from such a different place as we realize these In Him realities. Now, back to Romans 5 that we looked at last week. We went through most all of it. And what I want to point out today is Romans 5 is really a contrast and a comparison. It's looking at what the first Adam did and contrasting and comparing it to what the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus did. So Let me read that and let's have that thought process in mind. And you'll notice I've highlighted some of the words that we're going to be really focusing on in the first part of today. Verse 17, again, Romans 5. For if by the transgression of the one, that word is highlighted, you noted, or made bold, death reigned through the one, there it is again, much more, that's the second phrase or second word we'll look at, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign, that's the third word that I want to do a little comparison and contrasting on, in life, today, not in the sweet by and by, but today. How? Through the one, there's another one emboldened, Jesus Christ. Now that word one, we'll start with it, is used 11 times in this chapter. And when something is used so repeatedly, what is he trying to get us to see by this repeated emphasis of this word, O-N-E? And I think this is what Paul is really emphasizing, that throughout this life, you're going to be identified with either this one person with a little O-N-E, or the other person, the capital O-N-E, the one, Adam, or Lord Jesus. Throughout your life, you're going to see yourself and identify with one of these men. And you can also, I'll say this is true, even after you become a believer. Because we see believers who still just can't get rid of that old identity. Now, that's a choice we have to make. Is Adam going to be my identity, or is Jesus? And we've already talked about, and I just want to emphasize this, that not making a choice to believe Jesus, which is really making a choice to go to hell, I mean, I just hate to be that blunt, is not about drinking and running around, and some might say smoking, you could say just as easily overeating and not taking care of this temple. So it's not about the actions, but we're saved by believing in the power of the blood that Jesus shed for us and in his birth, death, and resurrection. And John 1:12 emphasizes that. Now, I'm saying these things because this is a core part of how you identify which one you're going to identify with. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, that's us, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, just like Jesus is the Son of God, even to those who do what? Believe in his name. Now, what I want you to remember about this word O-N-E, O-N-E not capitalized, one sinned, and so did all men. One capitalized sinned, one capitalized, that being Jesus, took our sin on the cross. And so there is no sin today imputed to us. It's through that act that we were made the righteous. We have the opportunity to see ourselves as a totally, which is what the word implies, never before created being. Our spirit man is the real me. And that being is complete in Christ Jesus. So one took our sin. One sinned and all men sinned. One took our sin to the cross so that today sin is no longer accounted or imputed to us. Thus, you are not an old sinner saved by grace. There is nothing associated with sin in our life, in our spirit, man. The word reign is used 5 times. I think we mentioned that last week. Adam and Jesus were both given a kingdom, and both reigned over it, so to speak. Now, Adam obviously didn't reign well because he gave it over to the devil. So if I'm aligned and see myself more like Adam than I do like Jesus, then really, who am I aligning with? It's more than Adam, it's the devil. And there is nothing that we have in common with him at all. He just wants to make us think we do. He wants to make us think we can't do well. That brings condemnation. If we are aligned with Jesus, the second Adam, the final one, and over and all of his victories, then we begin to see that he has the keys of the other kingdom as well. He conquered life and death. He took the keys. He took the power away from them. So that raises the question, why would I want to align myself with the first Adam? And if we're truthful, there is no reason to. We should not say, well, my body wants to act like him. That's where we're going today. That's why your identity is so important. How you see yourself with the one or the one is how you will live. And then finally, the word much more. Jesus gained back much more than Adam lost or gave away. And we need to understand that. He didn't just get partially back. He gained back more. And now we actually have a new and better covenant, even than they had in the old. But in doing so, we've been restored back to that original kingdom position that God desired for all men. Now, John 1, 1 John 4:17 has this phrase in it. As he, talking about Jesus, is, and I would add, today, so are we today in this world. That is so important that we understand that that's part of this much more, that he is our identity, and my spirit man has been made complete in him. Now let's read Romans 5:19 with this context that we've tried to give of this contrast and comparison. For as through the one man's disobedience, talking about Adam, the many, all men since Adam, were made sinners. Even so, even though that happened, through the obedience of the one. Now, obedience there, I think, has two areas of importance. The first is that Jesus was willing to do it and was obedient to his Father's instruction to him to come to the earth, lay down his life so that he could take it back up again and be raised up and seated. And what do we know? And us with him. The second was, Jesus was so obedient that he fulfilled the law. He did not miss anything that was in the law. And it's because of that that the many, said, this says, will be made righteous. For us, I would say, have been made righteous. And then verse 20 says, and the law came in that the transgression might increase, so that we might understand, man might understand what sin was. Man might understand what God's way was and what the way of the earth, of the world was. But where sin increased, so as more sin was recognized by man, in Jesus coming, grace abounded all the more. And then this next verse, 21, expounds on that to what I just said, that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign. We talked about that we're actually, grace is reigning in us, and that's part of the power that we have in our identification with him. Grace is reigning, might reign through righteousness, through how Jesus made us, to eternal life, through the God kind of life. And then this is the phrase I wanted to emphasize, through Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we talk about in him realities, we're talking about words like in and through and with. Things for that we share directly from Christ Jesus in our lives today. This must be our identity. Jesus, the one. This is how I need to see my spirit man, the real me, more real than this flesh. And when it does, when we do that, and I let the spirit man with who's joined in me, in my spirit, to make one spirit, then I, as Galatians 5:16 says, as I walk by the Spirit, it says, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, my spirit man can dominate this flesh. this one who was trained under the old Adam, we can take dominance over and rule and reign over this flesh. And saints, that's the only way we will ever truly walk free. Now, this must be our identity. As I said, do you remember that this, I commented about how there was a song that became an anthem as we left in the year leading up to our leaving Johnson City and coming back to Macon. And yes, what I'm going to say is that understanding this will help you get through more challenging times. And you said, well, just a move was challenging. Yeah, when you're leaving family and grandchildren and one on the way and friends that you've worshiped with and grown with and cried with and seen victories with. Yeah, it was very difficult. I mean, we had people who were just as much part of our family as I would consider part of our blood-related family, just a different blood that had joined us together. But this song, which was a very scriptural song, I think when you see this, when you see what this song is saying, again, it's tied directly to scripture, it helps you see that how you view life, how you view how you're connected, how you view who your identity is associated with, makes such a difference. This song said, "Heaven is calling you to come higher. See everything from a new point of view." And this song was named Heaven on Earth, as I told you. So it's calling us to come higher, to see everything from a new point of view. So we're looking not from this earthly point of view. We're looking from what? A heavenly point of view. And we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And then this is the phrase that just hit us so hard. From His perspective, all things are made new. That's an exact description of what we've just seen, what has happened to us. That has to be our identity. So when we talk about this identification process, I'll call it, begin to see ourselves in this manner more, we'll see that we've been crucified with Jesus, that we've died with Him both spiritually, and He died physically as well. He took our sin, paid the price for it, and thus our old sin man was able to be put away. We were buried with Him. We were made alive with Him. We were raised with Him. We're seated with Him or in Him, and we're reigning in Him today in this world. As He is today, so are we in this world. Now, I want to give you some scriptures that are really speaking to and about your spirit man, one for each of these. Most of them we've already touched on, but we'll put them all together here. We've been crucified. Galatians 2:20 straightway says, "I have been," some translations say, "I am." I like to say, "I have been crucified." That's, I think, the most accurate thing with Christ. He took my sin and He identified with me and took my identification when He went to the cross. We died with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Old things have passed away." My sin nature died with Him. My old man was buried with Him. Romans 6:3, and that's symbolic of when we're laid down in waters, we're identifying with that death and burial. We've been made alive, Ephesians 2:5 tells us, as we saw in the previous weeks. As He was made alive, we are made alive, and our identity is the risen Jesus, not just the one who walked on the earth. It's the conquering Jesus, the exalted one. We've been raised with Him, verse 6 says, and that says we're raised up out of the water of baptism. That's what we're symbolizing. Verse 6 also says we've been seated with Him, and we're finally reigning with Him in life. And here's that phrase at the again, through the one, Christ Jesus. Now, when we know these truths, then I believe we can get to a point where we have less struggle. I don't think it ever goes away totally, but fewer struggles with sin, and we find ourselves doing more reigning in life. Part of that is seeing that there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus to them who walk according to the Spirit. And that last part is equally as important, and that's Romans 8:1. So Jesus was condemned, put to death for our sin, and therefore we can begin to see ourselves as having died with him, no more DNA in our spirit of sin, of Adam, but of our Father, in that new spirit we had. That's when we can begin to see ourselves then more clearly as dead to sin. So as our old man rises up, then we just speak to this flesh, which is trying to live as the dead man, and we exercise authority over it. Now, I want to go through Colossians 3, 1 through 7, and we'll read a verse and we'll talk about it, because this really amplifies some of what we've been seeing today. It starts out, and really it parallels a lot of Ephesians chapter 2. And so, listen to these words. If then you have been raised with Christ, you've been born again, you've become a new creation that never before existed. It says, and notice the with Christ now. We're starting to see these things, the in, the throughs, the withs. Raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we need to see ourselves as seated there too, so that we can begin to see things from His perspective. This is where our identity is going to flow from. Seeing that identity in this position that we have at Him, seated at the right hand of God, the seat of power. Verse 2 says, for us to set our minds on things above, not on the things that are of the earth. That doesn't mean we don't care about anything that's going on. It means looking at the earthly things is not what keeps us driving toward the Father every day. It's looking at Him through His Word, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit, that allow in having our mind transformed or renewed. The word there for renewed, having a renewed mind or transforming that mind, is a major change. It's like the caterpillar to the butterfly. So it's a significant, that all new creation. Not on things of the earth. And then let me say about that. What that is telling us is you don't have Adam's DNA in you no more. That nature has died and has been buried. And we were resurrected with a new nature, with new DNA, the DNA of our Father. Then verse 3 I really like, for you've died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So the old man is dead, and now our life is hidden in identity with Jesus and with the Father. It's like we're protected by two levels of being in Him, in Jesus, and in the Father. Then and that also says to me that with Christ in God, that's how he saw himself. He didn't see himself alone down here. He saw himself and he got his identity from his Father. That's why he said, I only do what I see my Father do. So, so important that we make this change in the way we see this flesh that we are to rule and reign over with our spirit man. Verse 4 continues and says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, that you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, we saw that earlier when we were reading the scriptures from last week, that we're being changed from glory to glory as we see the truth, the revelation of who we are and all that we have in our position of Christ Jesus, when that becomes our identity. And really what we're saying again, I think I mentioned this earlier, is this is how God sees us. From His perspective, all things are made new. That's how God sees us, and that's the identity that we need to see ourselves with. Verse 5 says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So it's because of this identification with Christ that I can begin to see myself differently and dominate this flesh which was trained by the old DNA, and we've got to retrain it with this new DNA that we have. Let me continue then. Verse 6 says, "For it's on account of these things the wrath of God will come." In other words, those are the things that Jesus took upon himself from me, from my old identity. He took that away so I don't have to have it anymore. And that took away the wrath of God for us. In other words, because we believed in the work of the blood, his life, his death, his resurrection, that shed blood for our, paid the price for our sins, and we don't have to undergo life without God, which to me would be the worst possible thing. And then verse 7 says, "And in them we also walked when you were living in them." So we're just reaffirming in verse 7, this is not who you are today. You don't have that DNA. Yes, you were this way, but now you're not, before Jesus took them upon himself. So it's time for us to recognize that this flesh has been trained by the old DNA. And the devil tries to take us back and have us see ourselves as that way so that we can make excuses about why we do things, why we react certain ways. And I'm learning more and more, I need to see myself as Jesus, and I won't go back to those old ways that I was trained to. I'll, in fact, be able to dominate this flesh. Galatians 2:20, back to that same verse we talked about earlier, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I talking about the old man who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this same flesh, I live not by the old man, but by faith in the Son of God." Part of that faith is receiving your new identity, because he said, this is who you are. This is how Jesus says, this is how I see you. You've got to see yourself in this way, same way. "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me." So the life that I now live in this earth suit, I live it by faith in Jesus, by faith in his word, by seeing myself as his word describes me, by gaining a new identity of who I am. So in all this, we see that one got us into a problem. The one got us out of a problem. Paul was saying in these verses that his deliverance from the law was not through unlawful means. It was a legal requirement that was met to pay the price for sin and death that Ezekiel describes in chapter 18. And Jesus fulfilled this in dying in our place. And so it would be unlawful then for us to receive a second punishment. That would be saying the price Jesus paid wasn't enough. And so that's why it's so important that we don't go back to that old nature and see that sin nature as my identity, but we see ourselves as having no sin imputed to us. He didn't set us free so that we can do our own thing. And the only way we can truly be free is when we see this new identity that we have and we begin to let that grace of it rule and reign in us. He didn't set us free so I could just go do what I want to. We were bought with a price, and we need to glorify him in this flesh in everything we do. Now you say, well, gosh, I just can't seem to do that. So let's just ask this question. If you believed that Jesus was bodily here with you, united in some way, and I can't put this picture together, but this is the image the Lord gave me, so that we were, my identity was truly, I could see it in the flesh, so to speak, of being one with Jesus. Do you think that if he was here fully joined with you as a man, that you would do the evil things that this flesh wants to try to do? And I think most of us would say, no, not with Jesus here. I mean, he would empower us so that we can. And that's part of the revelation of our identity. That's the Spirit dwelling in you. The same power if Jesus were here in person, now dwells in you, and it empowers you to walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And saints, that is who we are. That needs to be our identity. Now, when we start trying to make it happen on our own, we're going back really to the principles of the law and trying to do it ourselves. And the reason I think the Lord wants us to talk about this identity is because what we're doing today is speaking to our spirit man. Because some of these things just wouldn't make natural sense. Most of the world who's not saved, they wouldn't even come close to understanding it. But the problem we have as believers living with identification with Adam, or in identification with Adam, is that we've got too much preaching going on to our flesh and our mind, speaking natural things to us versus speaking spiritual truths to us, so that the words of God can work in us through the Holy Spirit and begin this change, this metamorphosis, and we begin to see this is where our strength comes from our spirit man to dominate. And so I look in a mirror and I see this flesh, but this is not the real Minton. The real Minton is dwelling inside this flesh in union with Christ Jesus through the Spirit. My spirit joined with the Spirit of God into one spirit. I am in Him and He is in me. And when we begin to see that, then our spirit becomes strong. And Proverbs 18:14 says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him, in talking about sickness and disease and bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? And the answer is, you can't. So let me encourage you, if you're not in a church where these faith principles are being taught, where the pastor is speaking the word to your spirit, then you need to find one, because we need to feed on this day by day so that we're being changed from glory to glory to glory, to that point in time where we look and we see Him as He is and changed in an instant with Him. So what I want you to see today is you no longer have to live in Adam's family. Do not even come close to having that as your identity, but see yourself as the way the Father sees you in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Meditate on these verses, and I believe we'll begin to see a new strength form as we see ourselves in our new identity.